Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions for our podcast topics or guests. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and I'm here along with our podcast guru, Peter Belschwanger. Today, joining us is one of our ministry colleagues, Rachel Hasley, and we're going to be talking about what it's like to be a spouse of a pastor and what it's like to be the family of a pastor. And so, Rachel, we welcome you to Voices in the Wilderness.
All right. Thank you for having me today. I'm very excited to have this conversation and share about the other side of being in a family with a pastor.
Well, thanks for joining, Rachel. First, we wanted to start off. We have some questions I want to ask. So how have you seen the importance of church and leader health play out in your life as a pastor's spouse in your family in particular?
I think health has been the staple foundation that we have had to work on building. I've seen church that some churches are healthy and leadership can be unhealthy. You also have churches where it's the opposite, where you have either healthy leadership or unhealthy, and the church is the latter. So we've seen in both instances in our family kind of a transfer of health. Sadly, it's not as much a transfer of wealth like you would think or that you've heard, but for us, a lot of times it's a transfer of health, and it's usually the negative that slides over into the family life and can negatively impact us. So I've seen that, like, what you put up with, you end up with. Boundaries are important. Having your health or unhealth, conflict or conflict resolution, those are things that we've had to work on a lot in the home and outside the home, both relating to the calls that we have been a part of and also just the call to ministry as a family. So we've certainly seen the health as a very important factor for our marriage, for our children, now that we have three kids, and also just the relationship with the church in general.
Yeah, I love that line, what you put up with, you have to deal with, or something to that effect. You know, when I'm talking with churches, I'll often say, we get what we allow, right? And certainly, I think that's kind of a similar to what you're saying. And obviously, you used one of our favorite trigger words around here, boundaries, right? That boundaries are critical. And say more about boundaries, you know, because I think we make a lot of assumptions about the pastoral family and boundaries. And again, I think spouses of pastors don't always know what makes sense in terms of boundaries. So tell us a little more about boundaries and your experience with that.
Well, my experience with boundaries started off when my husband and I started doing the prep for when we were getting married. We had to read a book on boundaries, and it was so important for us to go through and walk through that, not just on the marriage front, but also because we were a part of a church plant, and it was a lot of work for us, and we sacrificed a lot of those early days in our engagement period and our marriage to put forth something that would work with the church plant. And we didn't have boundaries back then, and it really affected us. We were young, we were excited about what was happening with the church plant in the area that we grew up in, but it was also a very tough time for us. Then God called us out 1,000 miles away from home, 1,000 miles away from family and friends and everybody. And in some ways, we saw that as, okay, God is doing something big here because he needs to. And we went with it and we said, all right, we're setting up where nobody knows who we are except that we're the pastor and his spouse. At the time, we didn't have any kids, and we had to figure out what our dynamics would look like. What did Sabbath look like? We really struggled with that. With church planting, you're it, you're everything. And when we had the change and the transition, it was interesting because all of a sudden there was a team, there was a ministry team that was working on things, there were staff. So we were able to implement boundaries because we were able to see that other people were working with us and alongside us. And those boundaries we have still today, including making sure that you're taking your Sabbath, that phone calls don't come around dinner time or anytime after that. And also trying to plan things out with vacation. We did have at one point where somebody questioned, "Well, are you going to use all of your vacation?" And I told my husband, "Well, yes, you are using every bit of it because you need it. You need to recharge, you need to refuel. If you don't do that, you're not going to serve the people well." And I wanted him back. I wanted a little time with him too. You know, now that we have the three kids, you need that time together to recharge, refuel, and just reinvigorate yourselves. So for us, it was really interesting with the boundaries when we went 1,000 miles away from home. And, you know, it was nice. And it was a different way for us to be forced to implement them because it was just us. So we didn't have like family pulling us any direction. We had a lot of people who wanted to support us, and we were able to kind of direct in what ways they could support us, and it helped a lot. It gave us a refreshment period.
Now, are there any differences in the boundaries you set when you planted a church versus when you guys took your first call, 1,000 miles away?
Well, I would say yes. For us, especially on the home front, I think in the beginning with the church plant, it was kind of an all or nothing thing in my husband's mind. And as the pastor of a church plant, you're doing everything. So we would spend our entire weekend doing everything for the church plant, and we didn't have any time for ourselves. And again, we were newlyweds, and we actually started marriage counseling that was, it was bestowed upon us as a gift, but also as something that you need to do this because you're doing big things all at once. So we've actually stayed connected with that counselor throughout our entire period of just managing everything that we've gone through. And it's been a blessing, and it's also been a good reminder because he is also a pastor. So he's been able to speak into a lot of hiccups that we faced, and a lot of the hiccups were because we were not implementing boundaries and keeping the work at work and making sure that when you're home, you're not sending emails, you're not talking to people about what needs to happen at the church. Again, out in Omaha, where we were, 1,000 miles away from family and friends, we had to be very intentional about how we were going to connect with our family out. And it was difficult because we didn't have a big support system on the home front, but at the church, we had a lot of people. We had a youth director, we had music ministry that was very helpful for us, that he didn't have to sit in his office until 11 o'clock at night planning things out and doing things. And that helped a lot for us. We were able to reinvest in ourselves. And then with some very terrible pregnancies, he was also able to shift his focus a bit and say, "You know, my wife needs me more than the church right now, and that's what I'm being called to do." So, that boundary has been something that he has had to set for himself, is that my wife comes first, my call as a husband comes first, my call as a father comes first, because I'm not replaceable technically at home, but you are.
Technically, she says. If Jonathan turns up missing, we know who to talk to.
You know, your home is really the first place where most of your ministry happens, to your spouse, to your kids. And for us, we kind of needed a reckoning moment, especially when we were out 1,000 miles away from family and everyone, that, wow, my wife is really, really lonely right now. And that's because I'm not spending time with her, and she doesn't really have anybody else out here except me. And that was difficult for him to see me in that spot, but we came back from it stronger.
This is really, really helpful. Now, thinking about other spouses of pastors, church staff, ministry leaders, what would you share with them and their families about leader health? Like anything you've not shared with those folks about leader health?
Sometimes what can look like a breath of fresh air for a leader can really suck the life out of your family at home or your spouse at home. So, when pastors go on retreats, normally it's just them and their staff, and the spouse is at home holding down the fort or just continuing on making life happen. And I think a lot of times the pastor is the one where everybody wants to talk to them. Everybody wants to see the ministry leader after the service. And sometimes the spouse just wants to see their spouse. Sometimes there's not room, it feels like, for a pastor and his family. It's almost like the church is choosing one over the other. And that can be very isolating for a lot of families. So I think for leaders, they need to remember it's a whole group that you're calling, whether it's a pastor and a spouse, a pastor and spouse and family. You don't just get one without the other. And what you do with the pastor or ministry leader is going to affect the home front, whether it's in positive ways or in negative ways too.
You said something interesting, and I know what you meant, but I think it's an important thing to clarify. You said when you call a pastor, you get the family too, right? You get the spouse and the family too. But of course, a lot of churches to this day look for what I call the 2-for-1 special, right? We'll call and hire the pastor, and we'll expect to get their spouse to do a bunch of stuff in the church, of course, for free. In other ways. And I'm assuming that's not what you're referring to when you say, when you get the pastor, you get the spouse and the family too.
Certainly not. No. I guess I understand exactly what you're saying because we have certainly dealt with that where it's, oh, your spouse can sing, they can bake a casserole, they're good at making this specialty bread. Well, guess what? We just found our new, insert title for that person, and they don't even recognize that they have a life outside of the church. So I absolutely understand the importance of when you are looking at a family, you have to remember that you do have a pastor that you're calling, but they also have a call to their family, and their family is, in a lot of ways, along for the ride with what God is doing. And it's their choice for what they want to become involved with. They be looked at as just a regular family in the church. And sometimes I don't think the church looks at the family and interacts with them as much as they should. Sometimes they're ostracized, or it's the fake friendly, like the Midwest nice, where it's, oh my goodness, it's so good to see you. How have you been? Oh, and it's very difficult to form relationships when things are fake or when they're trying to butter you up so that, are you going to bring that casserole for the potluck? Because we'd love to have it there. You're so good at baking it. And I definitely have seen and experienced that firsthand. Oh, you're a teacher? Well, our Sunday school is lacking. And I just say, well, I'll pray for the Sunday school that you find someone.
That's so good. Just because you can bake a casserole doesn't mean you're a children's minister. So.
Well, and I remember one interview for a pastoral position where they said, now what is your wife going to do in the church? And I said, whatever she wants, which may be nothing.
Amen.
And yeah, and so that was probably not the answer they were expecting.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you, my wife, she sees through the fake nice thing pretty quick. But it's a shame that it is that way, especially for spouses. It just, you guys need the support just as much as we do. And that's something that's not talked about either. And there are some genuine people I think you'll find in the church that will genuinely come alongside you and support you. It just may take a little time to sift through that. But
Absolutely.
I want to ask our last question here. What would you share with churches about church health as it relates to the pastor's family?
With a pastor's family, we're just like any other family. Sometimes we have a lot going on, and that can affect how the pastor is doing. It can be anything from, difficulties for the kids in school, or it can be, the the spouse's job that is really taxing and draining, and the pastor comes home and then has to minister to the family. Where I think people don't give enough leeway for a pastor and for the family, where they're going to have troubles too. And sometimes it makes really good sermon content. Sometimes it's an illustration that may or may not show up in the sermon. But a lot of times what I think we see is that, you know, there can be unhealth in the family and there can be unhealth in the church family too. But good things can still happen. Good things can still be produced. God tells us life is going to be this way, that there will be good because he is with us, but there's also going to be bad because ever since Eve took that apple and we are living in a broken, sin-filled world. So I think it's a benefit for the pastor's family to have a healthy church, because it will flow back into the pastor and be able to not drain them when they go and, you know, work at the office or have phone calls or have conversations. But I do see that for a lot of people, you know, we think that we have to stay in a place of unhealth. We think that we have to just try and cultivate whatever we can. And, you know, sometimes we're called to do that. And other times we are called to do something different. So I think there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of exciting, I heard the term before, vibrant churches that have a lot to offer. And there's a lot of ministry leaders that are vibrant and have a lot to offer too. But we all come with different stories. We all come with different ideas and ways to do things, getting creative. But I think overall, when we look at ministry, it is something that we all want to work together on and grow towards health. It's something that we're all called to do. And for a ministry family, they just need that extra support. Churches can come around them. And I think for pastors too, they need to ask for help when they need it and make sure that they're open to when a church is coming around them. You know, we've had really, really awesome people, Peter, like you were saying, come around us and support us in our darkest days. And, you know, they saw me when I was asking, so I was having some very detailed discussion with some home health nurses, and they were so loving and supportive. And that was really when I got to see the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, as they were with us in our darkest times. So always for the ministry leaders, be open to when people are doing that. And for the families, definitely have your ears open, eyes open to see what Jesus is up to, because he will send people in every congregation. There will be the good people. There will be a few bad, you know, and we have to pray a lot about how to handle that. But there's a lot of good people too, who are really just wanting to share the love of Christ and walk alongside us and support us, because they know it's tough too.
I appreciated, you know, that you blamed that whole apple thing on Eve, by the way. So, but some of our listeners might disagree with that theological assessment. One of the things I learned early on, thankfully, from having my wife proofread almost all of my sermons is, you know, that family stuff as sermon content requires prior approval, prior authorization. You know, and so I think that's important. And I think one of the things, like having been a pastoral family and having my family experience some very serious trauma from that, it's hard living in the fishbowl. And I think, you know, that I think that's just something for churches to realize that, yeah, pastoral families are just families too. Unfortunately, they feel like, and in some ways, live in a fishbowl. And so how can we be sensitive to that? How can we have expectations of a pastoral family that are, you know, no different, perhaps even more gracious than we have of our own family or other families? And so, you know, I think some great, great thoughts for here, and certainly something I think we can keep talking about. So, Rachel, we appreciate your perspective on this, for coming on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on this, because a huge part of leader health and church health is how we take care of families, how we take care of our own families as pastors and church staff and ministry leaders, but also how churches do this as well. And again, if you all have suggestions for guests, for topics, we encourage you to email us at podcast@amazed15.org. Again, thanks, Rachel, for being here. We thank you all for listening. And please keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness, again, is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where our hope is to empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. And of course, you can visit our website at amazed15.org to learn more. And please subscribe, share the podcast. We're planning on posting every 2 weeks, and look forward to all the ideas and suggestions you all bring as well.